chapter number 27, verse 10. Acts 27, verse 10. But this is Paul in the book of Acts. Listen to this. The book of Acts says, saying, Paul is saying, he says, men, I perceive. He says, I sense that this voyage, this ship, where we're going onto the ship, this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Are you guys with me? The scripture says that Paul perceived that this voyage will end. There's a perception in your spirit that if you're sensitive when it comes to the things of God, you can sit in your room and you can be praying, or you can be out in your business and working, and you're a person who prays in other tongues, and you're building up your spirit, but your spirit becomes strong and sensitive until you come to a place where maybe in your job, maybe in business, at home, something comes where you have to make a decision, or danger comes to you, and you have the ability to perceive, to say, but wait, if we take this journey, if we take this contract, are you guys with me? If we take this open door or this thing that is happening, I have no evidence that it's wrong except for what I feel in my spirit. I perceive it doesn't feel right in here. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to get this practically through to you today. So Paul said, listen here, we're going to get on the ship and you want to go on this voyage. But the only thing, the weather looks good. Everything looks fine. But I feel and perceive in my spirit, this voyage is going to end in disaster. This is the life of a Christian. Listen, go with me to in NIV, the same verse in NIV. Let me show you. He says, men, I can see that our voyage, I can see, say with me, see. The word perceive in the other translation, here in the NIV, it says see. So Paul is saying, listen here, when I perceive in my spirit, I'm actually seeing in the spirit. Are you guys with me? Many times as Christians, we use a terminology and we say, I can see God is doing this, or God has shown me this. Yet we haven't seen anything. It's simply because we're believing and feeling in our spirit. He says, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. Some Christians have the ability to see, and some Christians have the ability to not see. Are you guys with me? Say with me, senses. And I'll show you a little bit on how this works. I want to pray for one or two people. And then you will see how these five senses work, and I'll use it as a demonstration. Let me give you another illustration before we get into the scripture. Listen to this. If you with a car, you stop at a red robot and you see a traffic light, red, green, red, yellow, and green. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us has a voice, but that voice has to be perceived. The only way we can hear that voice is not by our ears. But it's a hearing coming from your spirit. It's like, first it'll start off with a feeling. It's like, you know, okay, I got this job opportunity, this open door here. Then I got somebody else offering me a job here. But when I look at this place, I feel it's like a red light going up, like a no in my spirit. Or sometimes I can feel it's a yellow light coming up in the middle. So it's like almost God telling me, it's a maybe. You can take this decision, but, you know, just be careful. Or make it fast. Then there's a green light that comes up in my spirit, which means that if I take a decision and it's in God's will, it'll have a green light in my spirit. And there'll be a full go-ahead in my spirit. What I want to teach you this morning is, how do we know if it is a green light? What do I feel? Say with me, feel. There's sensations of God upon our lives. As a human being, I have the ability to touch, and I can feel this is a thing that is cold. Or I can touch and put my finger on a hot plate. And by virtue of my senses, I am warned and I'm protected. Are you guys with me? There's senses in the spirit that is given to you to protect you and to guide you. That we as believers can make right decisions. Come on, are you guys with me? That with what school your kids go to, what place you want to stay at, everything is led by the Holy Ghost. But people mess this up, and then we end up with counseling with them in the back, or all of the years that I've been in ministry, counseling, and they would just, it's one after the other mistake. Mistakes happening everywhere. Bad decision after bad decision. And they end up in a shipwreck, like Paul is speaking here in Acts 27. And their lives are a shipwreck. Are you guys with me? I'll preach a message one day on shipwreck, on getting into a shipwreck. That's when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and the leadings. Listen, when you have a ship in these days where Paul and them were living, you have with all of them, you had sails. And those sails had to be set upright to catch the flow of the wind, whether it's going left or whether it's going right. And they had to engineer and move those sails as they wanted to turn the boat. Are you guys with me? The scripture says that those who are of the Spirit, they are like the wind. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going, but they are going somewhere. They are like the wind. They are blown to places, being sensitive. When the Holy Ghost begins to blow in your life, you have to have the right mechanism up and the sails set up correctly before you can be steered into direction. Are you guys with me? Obviously, you know all this stuff because there's not a response. So the wind of the Holy Ghost will steer you. This is what we call the senses of God in us. As in the natural, we have five senses. In the spiritual, we also have five senses. Are you guys with me? Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter number 24. I want to show you. I want to start with the first sense. 1 Samuel 24, verse 3. Before we go there, put on for me Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1 in the New King James. Listen to this. When Paul was sent out into ministry, he was following an instruction and an encounter he had by prophecy. But when it came to his second and third missionary trips, he was only led by being perceived in his spirit. The first one, he had an encounter. God spoke to him through prophecy. And they were laying hands on him here, which I'll read to you now. And he was sent out. But from there, when he went to his second and third missionary trips, Paul had different types of missionary trips. He only perceived it. The one when he went to Ephesus, the scripture says that he was ministering in Ephesus and he left there and he said these words to them. He said, listen, if it is God's will, I will be back. And then we find him in the next chapter back at Ephesus. And the greatest revival broke out there, the church of Ephesians, where there were over 120,000 strong. But all because Paul was sensitive and just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. If he was not sensitive, we would not have had the book of Ephesians or other books. Are you guys with me? Many Christians are waiting for an extraordinary encounter, falling to the floor and having a vision or having a dream before they do anything for God. He says, listen, I have given you the inward witness, the Holy Spirit within, the anointing within to guide you and to steer you and to direct you. The anointing upon is for ministry and power, but the anointing within is to guide you and direct you. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. This is Paul. It says in Acts chapter number 13. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Next verse. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which we called them. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. This is 8 years, or let me say 12 years, after Paul had an encounter in the desert. He was first on his horse and he got knocked off by Jesus himself, and he had encountered the road of Damascus. After that, he moved out to the wilderness in a desert of Arabia, and he sat there for 3 years. And the scripture says he was about 3 years where he spoken to no man. He conveyed to no one. He was taken into heaven, into the third heaven, having such revelation, such visions, that the very pen that he wrote and the paper that he wrote on became the Bible. This man was anointed. He saw things in heaven. In the book of Corinthians, he says these words. He says, it is unlawful for me to even begin to utter of what I have seen. Yet, Paul was required to sit in the church and submit and be sent out by leadership. Are you guys with me? There are ministries that will send, that they'll, we call it, we say it, we send, they send themselves. Some are sent, some are went, and some just took a mic and went. Okay? So some people are sent by leadership, by the Spirit of God. Others do their own thing. Hence, there is no backing of God, no grace coming behind them to do it. And you see the pastors, and we've met them, we've seen them over and over. Just last month, it happened again. Pastors end up with 5,000 people, and they put a gun to their head, and they shoot themselves. And this was in the United States. Just a few weeks ago, I was sitting with a minister. If I tell some of you his name, you might know. He has about 7,000 people. And he was doing a huge, huge meeting. And I'm just sitting in my house. It was a Saturday afternoon before I ministered here. It was about 3 weeks ago. And I'm sitting in my house, and I'm having a vision. All of a sudden, it first started like this. I began to perceive or think about this person who I haven't seen for years. Are you guys with me? I began to just feel something is not right here. And I'm thinking, but I haven't spoken to this person. Why do I have this feeling? And I remember going down. I was busy, and I was in some place alone at home. And suddenly, it was like I saw. But when we see, we are seeing, it's perceiving. But that perception is so strong, and you're so trained, it becomes a vision. And I saw this person. I saw some women involved, and then I saw him taking a gun to his head, trying to shoot him. And I'm sitting, and I'm preaching Sunday morning here. Saturday night, I'm sitting at my house. I'm praying. I haven't even prepared for the message. I'm having this encounter. And the person starts communicating with me, starts talking to me, and instantly, it said they need my help if I can. That's how the prophetic works. So God can come and speak to me and give me a word for him that I haven't seen for years. Doesn't matter how high profile they are. He comes, I pray with him, I think, till 4 o'clock the next morning. And I come from there to come and preach here on the Sunday morning. And then you have some churches that will speak against the prophetic while this person's life was just saved. Are you guys with me? 7,000 people. 7,000 people sitting in my house crying. I'm not even yet telling the person what I saw in the vision. And the person looked at me and said, Leon, this whole day I'm driving alone, and after doing huge meetings, there's a thing speaking to me to tell me end it all. Just put a gun or jump off there. And he said, the only person I could think of that came into my heart at that moment was you. And then I have ministers standing on the pulpit. I was reaching out to one pastor. With love, we wanted to learn something also, 8,000, and never responded. They get in the pulpit and they said, you know, these ministries they lay hands and people fall over and they have this encounter and then they stand in the pulpit and then they prophesy. It's not scriptural. I'm thinking, listen, brother, the scripture says, do not quench the spirit. Despise not prophecies. Are you guys with me? And listen, South Africa will take a plunge if the church will suddenly get into a place of no longer believing the prophetic because of some that are off or some that faked. If the church comes to a place of not believing in the prophetic, prosperity will be removed from this nation. It is the prophetic that is a light in a dark place. It is when you receive a prophetic word that even everything that goes wrong, you have a sure word of prophecy that you can depend upon. That Peter, in the book of Peter, it says a sure word of prophecy that can get you through a dark place. Are you guys with me? The prophetic is there. Oh, I've seen so many lives saved with it. So I'm sitting and I'm ministering to the person and I'm telling them the vision that I have or that I've had, and God is busy starting the restoration process. But that ministers will stand in front of thousands, people will worship, and they will never think this person wants to kill themselves when they get off that stage. It's because in ministry, many ministers neglect their spirit man. They anoint it out there. And I've been through ministry. Oh my goodness, we've been had crowds of thousands. And for then that anointing comes on you. If your inner anointing is not maintained, the Holy Spirit within, your ministry will crash. Because God has anointed your outside ministry. Are you guys with me? I can come on a Sunday night, we're going to have a ring of fire and anoint every person. I can get on you, lay hands on everybody. Power of God will be there. We can prophesy, we can do a lot of things. It is not a sign that everything is right in me. And that thing I've learned in ministry right in the beginning. Say with me, perception. So I'm giving you just a guide of how this person, you know, how I became sensitive and I heard what is happening in this person's life. Simply because at that moment, the only image and face they saw was mine. Although we haven't properly spoken for 20 years almost. Are you guys with me? Say with me the promptings. Say the senses of God. And when we're going to pray tonight for everyone, I'm going to pray for a fresh, that it becomes fresh. The problem with senses is this. It's like a traffic light in us. Red, green, yellow. Yellow, green. Red, yellow, green. But it is also like a guitar finger. That as a person plays guitar with this finger, yeah, it usually gets calloused and seared. And when we don't listen to the promptings or the sense of the Holy Spirit, the senses of the Holy Spirit, when we don't listen to His voice because we think He must audibly speak out of the sky. But as I'm going to train you this morning, there's other five senses that God speaks through. If we numb them and we don't listen, we become seared and we can no longer feel anything in that area. So for example, I am a young person and I'm going out to a club and I'm getting drunk. I'm saved, getting drunk. I come back. I feel convicted. I feel, I should not have done this thing that I've done. But, you know, I go out again, I do it again, I come back, I feel it again. I don't heed to that feeling. Or whether pornography, whatever area it is. And I do it again, and maybe by the fifth time I'm coming back and I don't feel anything. I actually feel good. And I think, you know what? No, man, God is okay with this. God is a God of grace, you know. And we preach grace. Are you guys with me? God is, you know, His blood cleanses. I'm fine. God doesn't have a problem with that. He's not religious because I don't feel anything. No, 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 no. You've been seared, which means even if you take a needle, if you're a guitar player, and you prick a needle into your finger there, you don't feel it. The feeling is lost and it becomes numb. The Bible says that our conscience can become seared. That now God speaks in that area and all of a sudden we don't hear Him speak. It's because it is numb. Are you guys with me? And for us to get that fresh, that is repentance. That is when we get a fresh infilling, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we leave that place, we are fresh. He has made our hearts flesh again. Which means you walk out of there and all of a sudden if you do something wrong, you feel His voice again. You can feel Him warning you. Are you guys with me? Or don't you like this preaching? Okay, your face is not encouraging me. I don't know. I think we need a fresh baptism tonight. Where it can be a fresh, I know I wasn't here for a while, but let's do a fresh baptism. Tonight there's going to be a ring of fire, but listen. So, I can get numbed in that area. I can no longer feel and I can no longer hear God. Now the next thing happens, or the next business move, or must I take this job or not? Must I buy this house or not? And I make that mistake again. because I don't hear his voice. I don't feel his senses anymore because I've numbed it. Are you guys with me? This is how Christians get into problems. And then now they're trying to get to church. They try to lift their hands and worship him. They don't feel him anymore. They don't feel his presence. It's because they've become numb in the spirit. Are you guys with me? And we need a refreshing. It is like the Bible says that when Paul was hit off his horse, Jesus said to him, it is hard to kick against the goads, Paul. It is hard to kick against the goads, meaning that thing that pricks the horse to make him run. I'm causing that to prick your life, to cause you to have an encounter with me. It is hard to keep pressing against that. They are believers, they are pressing against the goad of God, and kicking against and pressing against the goad. Like Jesus said, it's hard kicking against it. And the Holy Spirit is pricking them and pricking them. And they become numb. And it will carry on until we surrender. Are you guys with me? So I want to teach you, and it'll be quick because we have a long service tonight. When I say long, we're going to lay hands on everyone. Five senses. Say with me, five senses. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 24, where I was, verse number 3. I want to show you the first sense, and I hope that I can get it, through in a practical way for you this morning. Let's read here. Listen to this. This was David in a cave, hiding in a cave from Saul while Saul tried to kill him. And when he was hiding in a cave, Saul came in by the entrance of the cave. And this is the situation. Let's read here. It says, so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. David and his men were deep inside. And they see Saul coming in, who's looking to kill them. Next verse. Then the men of David said to David, David, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly went to Saul and cut off a corner of his robe. Are you guys with me? I want to explain to you this situation. Listen here. First of all, David's men is reminding him of God's Rhema word, that I will deliver your enemy into your hands. And when I deliver your enemy into your hands, David, you can do as it seems good to you. Meaning you can chop their head off. You can cut them into pieces. I, as God, I am okay. You can do whatever you want. This is the Bible. Are you guys with me? And he says, they're reminding him of a prophetic word. But when David walked closer to Saul, something changed in him. Where he wanted to kill him, to a place of where he got close to him and he just cut off his robe. His intention was to kill him. But as he came closer to the subject, he became more and more sensitive. And God's voice began to speak to him more and more and more. And then he cut the rope of Saul's robe. But there was a line that David crossed. David stepped over that line. It's the line of crossing. Have you ever had this thing where you made a decision or made a mistake and you said to yourself, I knew I should not have done that. Why did I not listen? Why? I knew I shouldn't have done it. All the senses that I'm going to tell you now, unfortunately, happens at the line of crossing and crossing over, not before. Are you guys with me? Okay. So listen. David gets to Saul, cuts off a corner of his robe. He goes away. Let's carry on reading. It says, now it happened. Say with me, afterward. Afterward, that David's heart troubled him. Put me in the King James Version quickly. That David's heart troubled him. Listen to this. Now it came afterwards that David's heart, in the King James, it says smote. Say with me, smote. The word smote simply means this. It means to slap someone. Which means David's heart was literally slapping him because of what he has done. Are you guys with me? David cut the corner of his robe. Afterwards, David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. It is amazing. Listen to me. Samuel, the Bible says that Samuel ran and grabbed Saul and torn a piece of his corner. Samuel the prophet. And as he did it, God said to Saul, like this, the kingdom is torn from you. Which means that Saul, I tore the kingdom from you. David goes and sneaks up and tries to cut a piece. The Bible says, the word explains the words cut. He tried to cut a piece of Saul's robe. And his heart began to slap him as he left there. Because he wanted to remove God's anointing without God's permission. Are you guys with me? He wanted to cut someone out without God's timing being cut out. So when David left and cut that piece out, he walked and his heart began to convict him. The very first sense when it comes to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is what we call the smite of the Holy Spirit. It's an inward sensing when you've done something wrong, especially when it comes to the anointed or authority, and you've made a mistake and you feel like your heart is slapping you, so convicted you feel. Am I the only one? Okay, so listen, it's like you're in an office and there's a pen lying there and you know it's the office pen and everything is good. You don't feel nothing wrong. You take the pen, you go home and it's an encounter pen. No, I don't care about that stuff. Okay, now encounter pen, and you go home and you write in the book and all of a sudden you feel guilty. But it's guilty only afterwards, not before. Are you guys with me? It is because we have trespassed a line of our conscience that we know is wrong. And then the Holy Spirit comes and slaps our conscience. Many people become dull to this thing. When they become dull to this, they don't hear God's voice anymore. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become sensitive in this area. Are you guys with me? Say with me, smite. It's the first sense, is the sense of slapping. It's your heart being slapped, and that doesn't stop until you go and make right. Your heart will be in that place where you feel you want to die, or you are hit by God. The Bible says that God came down to Moses and strangled him while his wife was there. And his wife had to convince God to stop strangling him. Which means Moses' wife saw God. God was busy strangling Moses because he never circumcised his kids. Are you guys with me? He slapped him. There's so many Christians, they cannot get into church anymore because they are convicted and they feel bad because of what has happened. This is a language of the Holy Spirit where God is trying to tell you, listen here, I want to get you out of this thing where you're at. I want your heart to be stopped smacking, or your conscience to be start smacking, your heart stop troubling you, that you can come out of that place. The Bible carries on saying that David went back to Saul and apologized and repented and said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. And then he said, Saul, I could have, as I cut this garment, I could have killed you right there. Are you guys with me? But David had to go make it right. Listen, it's like this. Joshua in the Old Testament, when he took over from Moses, the Bible says that Joshua was leading over all the hundreds of thousands of the Israelites. And God said to him, listen here, one of my people has brought in an accursed object into their house. And you must go find them or go remove it. But God does not tell him the person or the family, or where it is. God just tells him that. Because when you hear God, it is an inward sensing. Are you guys with me? When we prophesy over people, it is an inward sensing. It is not something that is an audible voice screaming out of the sky. And I want us as believers, the Bible says that the sheep knows his voice. Every person sitting here knows his voice. It's a matter of becoming sensitive or not. So Joshua, God tells Joshua, listen here, Joshua, there's an accursed object. So Joshua began dividing up all the people into groups. And then he didn't find it, and he let them go. Then he went from groups to families to clans, and he had to go smaller and smaller and smaller. And the scripture actually explains from tens of thousands to thousands until he came to the family that that person was in, who took the object. And when he came there, he heard God's voice again. And God said, now in this place is the accursed object. And I want you to remove it. Are you guys with me? Unless Joshua had to get close to the object before he hears God's voice again. I've just given you the biggest secret to hearing God's voice. That is why we ask, bring documents. When we pray for you, bring financial documents, bring business documents, because God works with a contact point. In the church, even our previous building, we'll prophesy over people and we'll take their envelope that is sealed and see what is in there, tell them what is in there, and tell them what will happen. Why? Because I'm close to it. Are you guys with me? As believers, we all have the Holy Ghost inside of us. You can perceive wherever you go. So it is like this. The problem with this is that it is only happening afterward. So with the afterward, David had to go and cross the line or get close to Saul before he felt that. Joshua had to be close to the object before he heard God. It's like you want to go buy a car and you don't know if this is of God yet or not. And you know, some people are sitting in their rooms and they want to pray and wait for a vision. Doesn't work like that. God gives visions and dreams, but that is in relation to his purpose for our lives. Not when it comes to everyday things is leadings of the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? And now you pray. And now when you go to the car place, you go and you sit in the car, you still don't know anything. But when you're about to sign the document, if it is not of God, you'll feel something rising up like, this is a mistake, I should not do this. That's the voice of God. It comes from the place of intuition. Are you guys with me? It is birthed from, if I take this bottle of water and I put it here on the side, and something in me tells me it's going to fall off just now. And I ignore that voice, and 5 minutes later, it falls. That was intuition. Intuition is the birthplace of God's voice. Are you guys with me? But people think I must go praying tongues for 8 hours and I'm going to hear God's voice. No. It's being sensitive. Sensitivity is the key in this thing. Jesus was so sensitive that when the dove came and rested on him, when he was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. When we are sweet, when we are kind and sensitive, the Holy Ghost comes and rests on us. Any movement or sudden movement will make him fly away. Are you guys with me? And when you're in that place, you can hear God speaking. You can shake someone's hand and feel their motive. You can walk into a business deal, shake a hand, and realize, but wait, there's something that's not right with this person. Because the word discernment is dokimazo in the Greek, which comes from the word sensitivity, to be sensitive to something, which actually means the word to be tested. That when you shake someone's hand, you test, you scan them, you're sensitive. And by the leadings of the Holy Ghost in you, the 5 senses, you can know, but wait, this isn't of God. Are you guys with me? So say with me the sense of smiting. That is the sense, that's the first sense of the Holy Spirit. Once we overstep that line, we'll have that feeling like somebody just hit our heart. Or something is squashing my heart like this. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the second one. Put on for me on the screen, Ephesians 4 verse 20. Ephesians 4 verse 20. 4 verse 30, sorry. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Listen, before we go there, when David did that to Saul, we see in another place in Psalm 50 that how when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, when he committed adultery and he killed his best friend, it was a whole thing that took place there. One of his close people he killed because he committed adultery. The Bible says that he wrote this psalm in Psalm 50, a long psalm. Some of you would know it. But David says these words. He said, my bones which you have broken. He said, I cannot lie on my bed. I feel sick. The bones which you have broken. And then he says these words. He says, return to me the joy of my salvation. The first thing that happens when we overstep like that and we are slapped by the Holy Ghost, when Christians don't heed to that voice, but they keep pushing into that area, keep pushing and numbing the voice of God, the first thing that happens is they're losing the joy of their salvation. You'll look on their faces like you are looking right now, and they won't smile. They'll just be like, where's the joy that if you walk out of this place, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are saved? Amen. That is a joy that nobody can take away from me. I don't care who, what preacher, or who is saying what. The fact that I'm lying on my bed and I know that if anything has to happen, my destination is heaven. That should bring a joy unspeakable upon your life. That you are full of it. But listen here. That you're full of the joy, but many Christians lose it because they're overstepping, and they become numb. And they no longer get an infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the first sign that the Holy Ghost has left a person is when they are leaving joy. When they have no more joy left. Are you guys with me? When the disciples went out from Jesus to go cast out devils, the Bible says the 70 returned to him full of joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in our names. Meaning we were laying our hands on people. We felt the anointing operate through us. And the Bible says they came back dancing and jumping, full of joy. If you want to get some joy in your life, get the anointing upon you so that you can go do the works of the kingdom. Are you guys with me? But religion will make us sour-faced. Religion will make you constipated with no smile. It is time for a release. Come on, are you guys with me? I told you the whole story already on that. Say with me, grieving the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Say with me, grieve. This is the second sense. The first sense is your conscience or your heart being slapped by your conscience. The second sense of the Holy Spirit in us is what I call the sense of grieving. When we grieve the Holy Ghost. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when we step over a line when it comes to, the first one is more speaking of stepping against authority, coming against the anointing, where David came against authority. Or you in your workplace, you come against authority. Let me give you another example. You're driving on a highway and you are speeding. And we were pulled over this week because Mijan was speeding. So you are speeding. Now people are going to leave the church and say, these leaders are sinning. You know, he was speeding. I told him to slow down and he sped. And then we were stopped. But you know when you're speeding and then that officer, that demon jumps out there from the bush. And is standing in the road, you know already in your heart that you've overstepped. You feel guilty. Your heart starts pounding. Are you guys with me? That is God's voice. The only thing is we need to get into it and be able to use it for our leading and being guided by Him. That is an intuition He has given you. That when your spirit, when you get saved, now that intuition is purified and is sanctified. Which means now it works with the voice of God. So before you are saved, you have intuition, but it's not the voice of God. It's the birthplace of His voice. But you get saved, His Spirit comes in, mixes with our spirit. Our spirit is instantly saved. Now we can hear Him in these areas. How an unsaved person can have the police officer jumped out and they can feel in their hearts they did something wrong. We have that ability now in our lives with anything that we can do. Are you guys with me? If we don't sense that, it's because we are not full of the Holy Spirit. So that is meaning stepping over where, in the first sense, dealing, breaking authority. The second sense of grief, the second sense of the Holy Spirit, is when we violate His Word, violate the Word of God. The Bible says the word grief in the Greek, it means the same pain that it is when a spouse commits adultery on another spouse. When your partner in marriage commits adultery, that pain that you experience if you're in covenant is what the Holy Spirit experiences when we grieve Him. So there'll come a time when we are backslidden, or things happen, or we don't listen to the voice of God. We're overstepping the word, that we can feel pain and sorrow in our heart. We just feel we are far away from God. When we try to think back on Him, we feel pain in here. This is a sense of the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? That is the voice of God right there. And the thing is, we're trying to think that God's voice must only be in visions or dreams. No. My sheep can hear my voice. Whenever I speak, they can recognize my voice. If I take this mic and I stand behind in that closed door and I speak, you will know if it is me speaking. If Martin is speaking, you will know if it is him speaking. In the same way, his sheep knows his voice. When God speaks, we ought to hear him in our hearts. Are you guys with me? It is the anointing here that guides us. We are not guided by dreams and visions or prophecy. We are guided by the anointing within. Dreams and visions and prophecy will always confirm that inside. Are you guys with me? So he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you have been sealed for redemption. Say with me, grief. Let me get to the third example. I want to pray for one or two people here. Say with me, quenching. Say it again. Say quenching. This is the third sense. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. Put that up for me. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. There's a difference between grieving and quenching. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing. He's saying, do not quench the Spirit. Next verse. Do not despise prophecy. Say with me, despise. Listen, there's a spirit that is rampant in South Africa that is wanting to turn the church against the prophetic in everything. When the prophetic is lost, prosperity is lost, as I said earlier. Are you guys with me? When prophecy, we begin to despise prophecies, we despise the very voice of God that is used. And the enemy is using and trying to get into the churches to hate anything that is a prophet. It is a strategy designed by the enemy to get prophecy out. When prophecy will leave the church, you'll see the church lose money, you'll see the church go into poverty, and you'll see the church stop moving forward. Say with me, do not despise prophecies. Say it again. Say, do not despise prophecies. All I was just trying to show you is, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we can choose to be sensitive to Him or not. You can look at any person and be sensitive and say, God, I want to feel what you are going, what is this person going through? What are they experiencing? Are you guys with me? And that is prophecy. It is a very simple thing. Listen. The word quenching, go through to the previous verse. The word quenching, when it says, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench means to put out something that is on fire. It means that if you have somebody in your family, a husband or a wife, that is on fire, and you are stubborn, and you're putting out that fire, you are quenching the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? When a church will not allow prophecies, or allow praying in tongues, or allow a service to flow with God, it is quenching the Holy Spirit. It is taking where the fire is and is putting a fire out. So this is the third sense of the Holy Spirit. This comes into our lives when there is a quenching of the Spirit of God, and we can feel that we are stopped or controlled or hindered, that we cannot flow or move. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the fourth one, and this one I want to bring forth to you in a good way. I want you to catch on to this. Go with me to Luke chapter number 24, verse number 32. Luke 24, verse 32. Say with me these words. Say warmness. Say it again. Say warmness. One of the greatest signs of the Holy Spirit that you will know if something is of God is when your spirit is getting warm with that thing. I think there might be 5 people who've experienced this, or many. It's when you sit and listen to revelation, or you sit and somebody's prophesying to you one-on-one, or you're in a good service, or you're out there, but you're in a place where maybe you want to buy a car or a house, and you just pull back and you feel sensitive. and you feel a warmth in your spirit. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. This was some of the disciples that walked on the road after Jesus was resurrected. He came, he was resurrected in his glorified body, but it looked like a physical body. So they didn't know it was him. So as they walked next to him, the Bible says, they said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures? You know how many times I've sat one-on-one with people or wherever, if I minister to them or prophesy to them one-on-one, or I'll open up or speak about revelation, there's a heat that is taking place in their spirits and in my spirit. There's a heat. There's a warming up. It is a sign that God is there. And it is a sign that that is the direction where God wants you to go. Are you guys with me? When I don't know if I should go this way or that way, when I, me, myself personally, when I go and lie on my bed before I sleep at night, every night, I think back on my life and I feel so grateful. I'm just thinking and I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful that you've done this. Then I think about all the breakthroughs. I think about where he's taken me from the streets. I think about where everybody said I will never make it in life, where he's taken me from that. And when I think upon that, it's like my spirit gets warm and I can't sleep. Are you guys with me? Even sometimes before I come and preach here on a Saturday night, I would listen to sermons, even in bed late. And then sometimes it's such anointed stuff that I'm listening to, my spirit feels heated and I cannot sleep. This is the guiding of the Holy Ghost. If we do not have this, we don't know where to go. Are you guys with me? And all that is needed, listen here, Christians lose this. All that is needed is a fresh touch of fire. Just where it's a baptism of fire that comes upon our lives. Baptizing us afresh, filling us afresh. They said these words, listen, they didn't even know it was Jesus next to them. They didn't know who was walking next to them. But they reflected back. And they said, you know, when we walked there, this was after they found out it was him. They said to one another, don't you remember the fire we had in our hearts when he was opening up revelation to us, opening up scripture? This is a sin. Say with me, warmness. It is a warming of the Holy Spirit that comes in us that can guide us. Are you guys with me? The last one that I want to close off with, number 5. Say with me, sweetness. Say it again. Say sweetness. The sensation and inward sensation of sweetness. Listen, many of us want to make decisions when the Holy Spirit is upon us or the anointing is upon us. When the anointing is on us, it is for others. When the anointing is in us, it is for us. Are you guys with me? When I can feel the power of the presence of God on me, it is to lay hands on others. I think I'm going to close. Let's go do sweetness. Say with me, sweetness. Go with me to Acts 15 verse 28 on the screens. Acts 15 verse 28. Listen to this. It's what I call goodness or sweetness. It's the fifth sense. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Listen here, the Bible's saying that Paul and they were saying, they said, listen here, this thing, this decision we're making, it seems good to us to make this decision. Sometimes it is so simple. You want to buy a house or you want to buy a car. Or let's say you want to open up a restaurant and you want to open up a strip bar, okay? Which one is good? Now, if you're saved, you can answer this. Please don't say answer. Which one is good? You have a restaurant or a strip club. Very simple. Take the good decision. These are 5 senses of the Holy Spirit. The one that you feel with at peace, the fifth one. That you feel good at and you feel, but I have peace with this one. Guide it. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that peace is the umpire of our hearts. I don't make one move in ministry if I don't have the peace of the Holy Ghost. I can look at it, I still don't know, then I will walk closer to the situation. I'll even get so close that I want to launch it or do what I want to do. And right there, I feel something is not right. Then I back off. That is where people overstep the line and they don't back off and they get themselves into trouble. Say with me, goodness, sweetness. This is the same word as what Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Paul is saying these words. He says, I have the anxiety and the concern of all the churches on me. Are you guys with me? I have the anxiety. Go through 2 Corinthians, guys. 2 Corinthians 11, I think it is 47. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 47. 27, sorry. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Listen to this. Paul is explaining about how he feels towards the churches. He says, I have been in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Next verse. Besides the other things Paul is saying, he says, listen, Paul is saying, I've been shipwrecked twice. Do you know what it is to be shipwrecked? It means it is the exact statistics of getting into a plane crash. Paul is saying the devil has been so after me that thing that is almost near to impossible, that happens so scarcely, I've experienced it twice. I've been in the deep twice. The word deep means international waters. Paul is saying, when I try to preach the gospel, and I went from one country to another, I even ended up in international waters, drifting there. This is the life of Paul. Come on, are you guys with me? Just to preach the gospel. But then he goes on, he says, but my deep concern for all the churches. The King James says, my deep anxiety for the churches. But the word anxiety and concern, it's a positive concern, not a negative one. It says when he thinks of the churches, his heart gets warm and it's like a good concern. And he feels concerned like he must help out there. He must do something that is good. He must preach the gospel or he must help them financially there. This is the fifth sense, sweetness, goodness, to have a concern when you may be meeting friends or a Christian or you're ministering to people and there's just one person you feel you are concerned about them in a good way. You want to help them in life. Or you want to do this, or you want to help this one financially. That concern is a sense of the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? To get a little bit deeper, it's a splunkana that takes place in your stomach. When you're walking past someone, the word splunkana means compassion. Jesus healed and did miracles only by compassion. Are you guys with me? He would walk past someone and he would feel a concern, but it was such a strong concern that it would pull his insides. The word splunkna means the intestines of an animal taken out. It feels like your intestines is moving inside of you. It's like you feel a concern. I'm walking past this person, but I must give them a word of God. That if I don't, it feels like God will kill you right there if you don't. Or you must help this person financially. It's splunkna, which is in your spirit, that is causing your spirit to be moved and be led by the Holy Ghost. The problem is many Christians lose this and they can no longer advance the kingdom. They don't know where to go. They don't know what decision to make, what decision to take, where to turn, left or right, where to move, where to do this, what church to attend, because they've lost splunkna. Are you guys with me? What life is it without those leadings? We'll just go into religion. So let's get baptized afresh. Amen. Let's stand to your feet wherever you are. Stand to your feet.